and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today, our first story is about online dating, but also about supposedly social commentary, but also about one of those things like catfishing, where you're just sort of like, but why would anyone ever...
Can I jump in with something I read on Twitter yesterday about Tinder? This woman posted that she inadvertently... I don't understand Tinder, so right. You know, they're swiping and whatever, but she connected with her French teacher from 2 years before, and she said he was incredibly good looking and that he remembered her, but then he had spent the last 2 hours correcting the conjugation that she couldn't remember.
Like, wow.
Yeah, I don't think he understands Tinder.
Or he can't get out of that mode once he's been in it. I always see you as a student, and therefore, in the same way parents, you know, sometimes will always see you as a little kid, and...
Yeah, so that made me laugh, but okay, this is not that.
Yeah, so I don't use Tinder either. All I understand is something about swiping, and then it's often used just more for a hookup than an actual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this, and I remember hearing about this before it even came out, what the explanation was just when it happened, where a woman essentially invited, I think it's over 100, but definitely dozens of guys to the same date through Tinder.
Okay.
So she... Through Tinder, met these guys, and they both liked each other and started chatting or whatever. And she was like, hey, you want to go on this date at inter event thing here? I think it's supposed to be like a DJ set or something where they're going to go see DJing in. I don't even know what that is either.
Not even sure what that word was.
But that was supposed to be their date. And so they're going to meet up there. And then one guy posted that when he got there, he saw a whole bunch of people. And was like, what's going on? And the girl said, I'm running a little late, so please just whatever. And so he sort of sits back and watches as this whole thing unfolds, where she comes on the stage and tells the guys they're essentially not in a Hunger Games per se,
but may the odds be ever in your favor
to win a date with this girl.
Oh, good Lord.
It's just like, so the Hunger Games meets the Bachelorette?
I think if I was one of those men, I would have gotten up and walked away. I mean, that would have been my first impulse of no thanks.
I mean, I certainly would have done, like, you know, a sort of sliding step away from the main group of men, but then I might have been fascinated enough to stay and see if anyone would actually, like, go through this Hunger Games thing for a date. Like, not even a, like, you know, at least on The Bachelorette, I think, because I don't watch this, but seems like everyone else in my family does, you're possibly getting married at the end,
right?
Or at least a proposal.
Yeah,
but it's like not even a proposal, but a date. I'm gonna go through. I'm just like, and there was a camera crew. Like, this was caught on camera. I especially be like, nope. In the same way, I don't understand The Bachelorette. I'm like, this is on camera. People will be able to see this seemingly forever. Why?
Yes.
But yeah, so this was set up. It was set up evidently by Rob Bliss, who I guess owns some sort of video media agency.
Mm-hmm.
He's known for creating a viral video where he essentially filmed a woman, you know, being harassed as she walked along a street. And I've seen a number of different videos of that I'd love to know, like, the actual technicalities of how they do this. Do you have, like, a backpack that has a camera in it or something? Because
like you're a spy.
Well, because they walk in front of the girl, but they're filming behind them. To see the girl as, you know, people whistle at her on the street, or yell at her on the street, come up to her on the street, to show, you know, what women face with street harassment. But I'm like, Okay, but clearly the guys don't know there's a camera, because you see when they like actually get approached by other people, they change their behavior. So how did you do that to have this camera that shoots pretty well, but, you know,
right,
isn't seen?
And isn't just bouncing around like, you know, your backpack tends to.
Right, exactly. It had to
be stabilized in some way.
But yeah, so he's already done a couple of different video things that, you know, went viral and also used for like advertisement. And he evidently, it took him 2 years to come up with this, to which I'm like, really? Hmm. Why? Like, I don't know all that was involved in this, but is it that hard to like put up a stage in a public place in New York? You just go and get permission. Why does it take you 2 years to figure out to how to invite a, you know,
bureaucracy
of guys?
Maybe there's a lot of red tape. I don't know.
It's just like you weren't quite sure in what way you could manage to convince, you know, 100 guys to come to the same place at the same time and then not leave immediately, or I don't quite know why, but supposedly it took him 2 years. And he hired, it sounds like, Natasha Aponte to be the girl in this case. And she agreed, I think, because in the way they're both telling it, this was seen as sort of a commentary on app dating, on the modern state of dating and what that is and what that's like, and sort of also turning the tables.
Okay.
Because it often feels like this is against women, especially for the hookup thing,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, guys just wanting to have sex with women and then move on and then not actually have a relationship. And so if you're a girl who wants a relationship, because stereotypes like that. But I'm just like, but some of these guys actually probably did. Although, again, Tinder does not have the best reputation for being, oh, I actually want a relationship sort of thing. So it's just like, but if a guy was there who actually did want to date this girl, it's like, well, that's just mean. What about that poor guy who actually had like feelings involved in this, or was Aww. Willing to like put himself out there? And
right,
dating's difficult.
Dating sucks in a lot of ways.
Yes, and I mean, especially since, you know, this was not like a night date. This was, you know, during the daytime or certainly in the afternoon, where they were meeting in a public place. It's not immediately a hookup of let's meet at a bar and then go, you know, wherever. So clearly there was expected, at least from the guys, to be some sort of talking or whatever. And it's just like, so you just wow and on camera and
right.
wow
just yeah I definitely would have been like, nope, out.
Well, and then to continue the whole like, man, you know, modern dating through dating apps is really terrible. And this was done in public, so, you know, she would start like sort of preliminary dismissing guys even before we got to the Hunger Games part.
Oh, geez.
For just like different things of, you're not above, I think it was her like, you must be this tall to date me thing.
Must
like
be this
5,
tall to
10.
Ride the ride.
Right. Or if your name was Jimmy, to which I'm like, okay, but you were Tindering this guy, right? You already knew his name was Jimmy, and then you invite him here just to dismiss him because his name is Jimmy. That especially seems kind of mean.
That's just weird.
And I get you're making a commentary on how superficial dating can be of, oh, I'm going to swipe.
Right.
I'm going to go with left. I'm going to swipe left just because I don't like that person's name. Or I don't like that sweater they're wearing. Or, oh, they're not above 5'10 or whatever, without even getting to know this person. I mm-hmm. get, mm-hmm. you know, that commentary. But there's a difference, I think, between doing that through an app with a person you've never met and doing that in public on camera. Just really? And with, like, a bunch of guys. Like, it would have been one thing, I think, even if, like, the videotaping of the girl walking down the street, this had been, like, secretly videotaped over those 2 years it somehow took you to plan this, of just multiple dates where you did this,
mm-hmm.
but then where it's one-on-one, why did you have to do it all the guys at one time together? Like, really? And again,
right.
And
so they did this. Have they actually, like, give... why can't I talk?
I don't know.
Is the video edited and out there in the world now? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. The video went out, and it went viral, and they were actually on some like sort of talk show or whatever to explain this, because she especially got a lot of hate for going through with this thing, which again, I can get, especially if some of those guys were there to actually, like, you know, go on a date that would hopefully lead to another date that would hopefully lead to a relationship, you know, actually putting themselves out there in the cruel world of dating. That is really terrible for them. So I can get why a lot of people were like, man, that's terrible. And also that whole thing of like, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So just because right. someone else did this terrible thing doesn't mean you can do that terrible thing and it's okay. But yeah, this video has been out. It's been seen. And I'm just like, I started to watch it and I was like, nope. I already don't like this whole thing. And especially like seeing other people be embarrassed. I'm like, no. Especially if you're going to like be dismissed in public because really ridiculous, stupid reason. Pass.
So, I agree.
Yeah. Definitely, she got a lot of buzz about it. Not all of it positive. Tinder has its own sort of, and there are a number of different dating apps. I saw a thing that was like going down through them, and if you know what dating app works best for you, there's one where it'll match you with people based off of a celebrity you want those people to look like. I'm just like, really? Like, you post a picture and you only get to like sort of get hooked up with people who want people who look like, let's just go with George Clooney. I'm going to pick randomly. It's like, oh, I only want, you know, people who look like George Clooney. And then from those also like someone. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah, we've definitely gotten a little too particular in our in everything, you know? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
And this is why they say romance is dead. Pretty this much. Specifically, I'm sure.
Yes, this video is why yes, romance is dead.
Especially the Tinder trap is why romance is dead. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. It feels like a lot of people are dying lately, and I don't know if that's just like because I can hear about it more or if it's something. It
seems to go in phases, though.
I don't know if statistics like do deaths go up in summer or during a certain time of the year. I thought it was holidays, but
it's definitely holidays, but I don't know if there's other statistics. I'd never really looked into it.
Right. But so I know something about like the Sunday before. Deaths go up on Sundays or something because people are just like too depressed about the work week coming or something like that.
Wow.
But I don't know about like year long or anything except for, yeah, holidays because of stress. But so I know we talked about on different things, different people who have died, the former Secretary General of the UN and Aretha Franklin. And now Robin Leach has died at 76.
Oh.
And so Robin Leach is very famous for doing Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which for those of you of a certain age is like the precursor to Cribs, essentially. That was how I always thought of it. I was like, so.
Except that, you know, he had this voice and I can't, that's yeah. not a good, I'm not doing a Robin Leach impression. It's just he had this voice that was never really duplicated on Cribs, I don't think.
Well, I don't know that there was a specific host on Cribs either.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It was, Cribs was interesting, and it was around in that era where it's like, oh, let's all be rich. So you had Cribs, and then you had, like, My Super Sweet 16, where you're giving people who aren't even 16, like, you know, Hummers for cars.
Didn't everyone on, not everyone, but wasn't it kind of a running joke on Cribs was, and this is where the magic happens.
Or something, yeah. There was some phase that a lot of people, it's like, why? But yeah. Why? But yeah, so Robin Leach, I know more specifically from Troop Beverly Hills.
You love that movie.
I've seen it a number of times because it gets played a number of times. But, you know, so they're in Beverly Hills and they're spoofing a lot of the different things of Beverly Hills, like the Girl Scouts there don't even know how to camp and they consider camping, you know, camping out at the Wilshire Hotel or whatever. But one of them is when they're having to do their cookie sales, they hold a fashion show, as you do when you're selling Scout cookies.
Totally.
In which they have Robin Leach as a host. And he was very famous from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous for having this phrase of champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, because they're doing a fashion show of the Girl Scout uniforms, and they're not Girl Scouts, that's not the term they use, they, you know, made up their own, and they're selling cookies, it's like, it's khaki wishes and cookie dreams or something.
Nice.
And I was like, when I first saw that, I was old enough to realize that he was probably, you know, referencing something else, but I had never actually seen anything of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, so I didn't know what it was at the time. So I was just like, so you're like some famous guy that the rich people know and that means something? Okay, cool. Great. Got it. But yeah, so a lot of people, especially celebrities, you know, especially celebrities who, you know, are old enough of a time to have been on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, because again, this man, this actually, I'm shocked, ran from 1984 to 1995. I was too young to ever watch it and or didn't exist. But that's a long time for a show essentially about all the people who are way richer than you'll ever be.
Well, like, people love those little, you know, little looks inside the life they're not going to have.
Well, that's why Cribs was such a big hit. It's just like, really? This just makes me feel sad.
Oh, my goodness.
Inadequate.
He'd been hospitalized since November 21st.
He had,
yes. That's a long time. And he missed his 77th birthday by just a couple of days.
He did, yeah. So he had been hospitalized since November 21st. And he died, they say now, from complications due from then back then with a stroke, which I don't fully understand strokes, but wow, that sounds like a terribly long suffering time.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they said that despite the past 10 months or so, he was, you know, very still happy and had a wonderful life. And a lot of people did, you know, reach out on Twitter talking about how wonderful he was. He was evidently really big in Vegas or something, mm-hmm. which I'm just like, that, okay, fine. Person who talked about the rich and famous through the 80s and early 90s and Vegas, sure. That's just, I don't quite know why you would do that, but that makes perfect sense. But yeah, so it's sad, but it's also sort of like almost surreal for me just because, again, this show, I thought this was like a thing from the 80s, but that only ran for like 3 years. But it's just one of those things that was so...
Oh, no, it's so... I don't know that I ever really watched it, but it's so ingrained. His voice is so ingrained and, you know, the lifestyles, and it's been spoofed in so many different things. And yeah, it's just part of that. That culture of the decade.
Stupid 80s. I'm not a child of the 80s, and there's so much in the 80s, you know, was the greed is good decade, and every bigger is better, and I'm just like, why? And stupid shoulder pads and big hair.
Okay, but you weren't alive in the 80s, so you can't hate it.
But we're seeing
you didn't have to live through it.
It has such a long, you know, a long-reaching effect. And again, I think, I don't know that any of the same people were involved from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous to Cribs, but it does seem from the, you know, various clips I've seen very quickly of, you know, what they showed on Lifestyles. I think they went at one point to the Playboy Mansion and showed the grotto or something.
Probably.
I'm just like, yeah, okay. That seems so much of what Cribs was, which was just like, but why? Why do we have to do this whole like super celebration of super wealth to the point that I think, especially once Cribs at least got really popular, you started seeing celebrities who knew they were going to be on Cribs being like, I've got to upstage whatever. I can't be upstaged by that other person. So my crib has to be even more so fabulous, ridiculous, total waste of money. Are you kidding? Why do you need this thing or six cars or whatever? That it's just like, wow.
Well, that's been going on in variations for, I think, all of eternity.
Yeah. And also, I don't care about cars. So, hate the 80s, hate cars. Just, but yeah, no, I think it was very interesting how much of a reach out, I guess, you saw from celebrities on social media about Robin Leach. Because again, I don't know that people of a certain age really knew who he was since, mm-hmm. again, show ended in the mid-90s and then he went off to Vegas and Vegas. I mean, so you hear a lot about Vegas, but you also don't hear a lot about Vegas, you know? It's not something that constantly...
That's because what happens there stays there. So, exactly. You know, you just don't hear about it.
We're not talking... Nobody. The first rule of Vegas is you don't talk about Vegas. And the second rule of Vegas... No, I'm kidding. But it's that sort of thing of like, okay, there's stuff going on there and I don't know what it is if I'm not there. So it feels like if you're below a certain age, this is just sort of a who died? A what died? He was what? Which is kind of sad considering, again... It does seem that Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous was so well known at the time and had such an effect that it's just like, we don't know where that comes from anymore.
Unfortunately, I think that happens a lot when celebrities die and, you know, maybe their peak was in the 50s or, you know, I mean, just depends on what they did. And so a certain subset of people is going to know them and be sad that they've passed. And a lot of the world is going to be like, okay.
What?
Yeah.
And I also wonder now if he had a lot of, if like, especially the show was in syndication in foreign countries, because I know that's happened with a number of 80s things where they've been in syndication, but like here it's just like, whatever. But those things become really popular in other foreign countries that it's just like, you know, so I think it's what David Hasselhoff is really famous.
In Germany, I think.
In Germany, most definitely, but somewhere else too, due to like syndication from Knight Rider or something. And it's just like, what? And also, do the people who are in this country where this syndication is happening not have the internet to realize how bad 80s that looks? Like, I'm just like, do you think that's what it looks like right now? Why is this popular? I don't understand on so many levels why certain shows are, or like, I know MacGyver is popular also in some, I can't remember what countries now, but again, I'm just like, but it's so 80s. It's just so bad with, especially with the hair, and technology is not that way anymore. And I'm just, there's some gap here of understanding of why you think like this is super popular in foreign countries. I was like, do you not know that we have like much better cell phones or something? What? Why? Well, why? Explain to me, people. I mean, also, don't go into trying to explain the 80s because I've just given up. But why are these really random shows from decades ago just because you can see them on reruns? And so you just, I mean, that's certainly how my mother at least watches TV. Lots of NCIS reruns in my house to the point that I have no idea what's going on now in NCIS. I only know what's going on like up through like 2008.
Oh, that's funny. My parents watch it. In fact, we are really not allowed to call my parents on Tuesday evenings. Oh. But during they have a DVR, but they, you know, don't mess with their NCIS.
I gotta watch my stories.
Exactly.
Yeah. So sad that Robin Leach definitely got a lot of people reaching out on social media, a lot of celebrities talking about what an impact he had on, I'm going to go with celebritydom. There definitely does sort of seem to be a change from before Lifestyles of Rich and Famous to now about how much, A, we focus on celebrities, but B, how much we expect to sort of get an inside look into their life because of that show and because of him. And I think he was involved in the creation of that show as well.
So I'm not sure.
Sad, and sad that he, you know, sort of suffered for so long.
Yeah,
especially.
Yeah, that's a long way to. Yeah, even a hospital stay that long is a little crazy.
Very frustrating. Yes, but sad. Robin Leach will be missed. So we're gonna take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. You and I do not host, or at least I don't host ever, any sports podcast. You sometimes do jump on some of them because lucky you.
The women's MMA is the only one that I jump on.
Okay.
But never, which I suppose maybe has a crossover with MMA sometimes when, but yeah, I'm not, I never make a surprise appearance on like fantasy football or anything.
I did once try to ask my coworkers to explain. They were talking about football, period, and I asked them to explain fantasy football because there's now a fantasy movie league, and I just don't understand how that like works. Of how you,
yeah,
how does someone win?
I didn't either until again got married and my husband's friends had a league, and they were like, "Come on, we just need that 12th person or whatever," and I was like, okay.
I'm randomly picking just because.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, oh, I'm going to set my lineup. I'm just going to look at everything the computer tells me to do and go with it.
Right. I love how you said that, Lo. Like, I didn't understand until I got married. Like, it's all getting married's fault. It's all because I got
it. It really is. You know, had I not gotten married, I wouldn't be so involved in sports.
The road less traveled. So anyways, what I always notice about sports when I do actually bother to notice sports is not actually the sports themselves. I couldn't tell you anything about scoring or statistics or who's having a good season or what a season actually is date-wise. But I do think this final story is very interesting in that Serena Williams, who I do know is pretty awesome at tennis. I've never watched her do tennis, but I cannot hear about her without hearing about how awesome she is.
She is awesome.
Has been banned from wearing an outfit at future French Opens.
Yes, she has.
Which is just...
Which is ridiculous. Now, Wimbledon has had a dress code for 100 years.
Right, and it's, you just have to wear
white. So that's something that's already in place. This feels like specifically targeting Serena.
And that is why it became such a big thing on social media. People were definitely talking about it. So she, I guess, at a previous French Open, or the earlier, is it like a multiple step thing, like the tour of the PGA? It's only one thing, right? The French Open?
I think so. That I cannot tell you.
Well, because he said that, you know,
I mean,
know
there's
that...
different levels, I believe, but...
Okay. Because the president of the French Tennis Federation did say, you know, we know it's kind of late now because the uniforms have all been planned by fashion designers, I guess, but we'd like them to sort of tell us in advance what's going to happen so we can work around this. But Serena Williams wore a black cat suit, which was designed for her, I believe, by Nike, and was sort of a compression suit because following her pregnancy, she struggled with blood clots.
Yes, I think possibly even before her pregnancy, she's struggled, because I remember hearing her talk about after the pregnancy having a blood clot and knowing what it was,
right,
because of prior experience.
Well, and I did see someone on this was talking about how she had, you know, nearly died from this twice.
Yeah,
so it did seem to be a problem that she had dealt with, but it's like, hey, I've had my kid and I'm getting back into whatever, so back to tennis. Hey, compression suit by Nike so I can, you know, go out and play and not die. Thanks for that. But she, I think she did, or the media did, or both, called it sort of a Black Panther suit, because it's a black skin tight suit with like a red, not even a belt, but a red waist thing around her waist.
Accessory? No, that's not the right word.
Design.
Accent.
Sure. Accent, yes.
Let's go with that.
Thank goodness there isn't a fashion podcast that would be terrible at that one too. But she said it made her feel like a superhero, and it, you know, became known as the Black Panther cat suit. Well, now the president of the French Tennis Federation is saying she can't wear that anymore. You have to respect the game and the place, and that sometimes they've gone too far with the clothing that they let the players wear.
How is she not respecting it? I mean, of any person, I think she's probably respecting tennis. You know, she's...
Well, and this was the reaction, because the idea was, you know, oh, we want our players to dress more conservatively. And without, again, even really watching tennis, my first thought was, so, like, really short skirts.
Yeah, tiny skirts that barely cover your butt.
Are more, like, this is, you know, it's not, you know, made to be sexy, but she also looks very nice. But the only thing showing is her head and her arms. I'm like, how is this? This seems to be the most conservative thing I think I've ever heard of a female tennis player wearing, outside of, like, you know, once we get past the 50s so.
Granted, it doesn't leave anything to the imagination, really. I mean, but she's a very curvy woman. She's very, right. She's very non-conformist in terms of, like, most tennis players. So she's celebrating the body that she has, which is a very strong, amazing, athletic body. This just... really crazy to me.
Well, and looking at the pictures that people posted in their are you kidding sort of shock, I'm just like, this is not conservative. This is not. You get new, and again, because, you know, especially if you play as athletically as Serena Williams does, you know, it's not just standing and looking pretty and then hitting a racket.
No.
These people are running back and forth. There's, I remember the famous clip of her sort of sliding into the splits. And then you look at the outfits that some of these girls are wearing. There's a lot of short skirts, and even though, you know, there are sort of tennis shorts underneath them, or there are tennis skirts which have shorts built in, sort of where you hold the ball, it's like, these are still really short, and you're being very athletic in them, and cameras catch you at very interesting moments, and
yes,
just
they
there's
do.
a lot of leg on display, and considering, you know, playing tennis during the summer, it's often, you know, sleeveless, and Serena Williams's cat suit with shorts. I'm just like, I don't follow this enough to be able to tell whether or not this specifically aimed at Serena Williams, but that statement is so ridiculous, I can easily buy it. I was like, there's nothing really wrong with her outfit, period, for, you know, almost any sport, but B, comparatively to all the other things you normally see female tennis players wearing, the idea that we need to dress more conservative is a most ridiculous statement. Just like, what?
Yeah.
And so people are saying perhaps this is a race thing because Serena Williams is black, and she did mention that this was like a Black Panther cat soon, and so the, you know, tie into Black Panther as this film that sort of empowers black people. A lot of people are saying this is just specifically because Serena Williams is so good, right, and they can't find any other, you know, excuse right, of to not make her play at the French Open. So we're going to give ridiculous rules that really kind of only affect her. He didn't say it's specifically only that outfit. He was saying, you know, we're going to sort of change what people are allowed to wear. But he gave that as a specific example of what they will not allow.
Right.
And since that outfit is so not, you know, ridiculous compared to regular female tennis players' outfits, it's just like, what?
But Serena and Venus have been kind of pushing that tennis outfit envelope for years. They've
thank
had,
you also for that.
Yeah, they, you know, they've showed up in some really interesting, and right, in some ways interesting, where you're like, whoa, interesting. In some ways where you're like, dang, interesting.
Yes.
But so now, I don't know. This just seems ridiculous. She did say there, I was just reading an article that came out 2 hours ago that you know, she says that he's been easy to talk to. My whole team is basically French. So yeah, we have a wonderful relationship. I'm sure we could come to an understanding and everything will be okay.
I kind of, I want to see her somehow one-up him. So a lot of people on social media were talking about, so boycott the French Open? Yeah, let's boycott the, is Serena going to boycott the French Open? Because I'm totally down for that. Let's boycott the French Open. To which other people were going to replying, that probably wouldn't happen because there's not as much solidarity in tennis. So people wouldn't also boycott with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to see her, like, get around this of, oh, you said I couldn't wear that cat suit, I'm gonna wear something that pisses you off even more, but you didn't say I couldn't wear, so I kind of want to see her wear something that they also are like, well, we didn't specifically say you couldn't wear, but it was implied, and then go and win the French Open just
right,
because you know,
I'm just gonna play naked, how do you feel about that?
I mean, or in a skin tone thing,
right, so like, she looks naked,
right, like I want her team of designers, whoever comes up with her outfits, please don't take this as a, oh, we're just going to abide by the rules. Please be like a, well, you said, but I'm going to find a way around this rules. So there, because that just makes it the best. And people were so, so on Serena Williams' side about this on social media that I would love to see the reaction of, like, you know, again, the Twitter equivalent of a slow clap. If she could, like, one-up right, them on that. It's like, I might watch at least, you know, 10 minutes of tennis just for that. Just to see, you know, how she overcomes this, so I hope she does.
I'm sure she will. I mean, she's Serena Williams.
Man, you've been pushing the envelope so far. Don't back off now.
No random French tennis president dude stands a chance. Right.
It's Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Exactly. And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.